right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
That happened.
That happens!
That happened.
Big weekend, Eddie.
Big weekend.
For geeks around the world. Well, what did you think?
I liked it. It was good.
You, where?
With any movie, I have...
You're like, yeah, I liked it. It was great.
I liked it.
So scale of 1 to 10?
7 or 8.
Okay, wow. Pretty harsh critic.
Well, no, there's just like some gaping holes.
Yes, there are gaping holes.
But I was entertained, and I realized over time that you have to watch Star Wars movies as episodes and not as films.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it that way, then it's easier to digest.
Well, I was riding on the wave of excitement. Like I had been waiting. Like you went opening night too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was torture for me to wait 3 days. But my brother and I went yesterday, Grauman's Chinese.
Yeah.
Man, I was so excited, like, from the time. Like, I was, there were some pretty good previews. And yeah. I was still like, come on, get to the movie.
When that opening crawl hits, you're like a kid again.
Yes, oh, my God. And it's just like, also seeing a new Star Wars. Because, you know, you see the first three, and I don't know if you were thinking the same thing, but you kind of had an idea what was going to happen. You had an idea it was a prequel.
Prequels, you knew where the story ended up.
Yes.
You wanted to see how it got there.
Yes. But this one, it was like
this
anything
you don't know
goes.
You don't know where it's going.
You don't know where it's going. There are books.
Yeah.
It was loosely based on some of the books, but not really.
Well, now they threw all that out.
Well, kind of. Because in the books, I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but in the books there were some parallels. We'll just say
they drew some stuff, but for the most part the story's going...
Yeah, they created
direction.
Something new, but there were some elements in the story that I was like, "Oh, that's kind of like where the books go with that."
Well, it's basically almost a remake from Episode 4. I mean, it's basically the same, follows the same plot, the same stories. It's just, but the new characters were so great,
dude. There were so many great scenes.
I like seeing the old people too, but at the same time, like Rey's so great to watch.
Yeah. She was great.
Like, I want to see that.
You know, I love that that was a whole story. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think the whole story was going to be so focused on her. You know what I mean?
No, it has to, because they needed it to carry to the next generation. They can't make the whole thing about Luke and Han and Leia.
And this is not a spoiler, but man, seeing the Millennium Falcon again, oh my God.
Yeah, it was nice.
That was nice. Dude, honestly, like, did the theater, like, go crazy? Like, my
it was
theater
kind
went crazy.
Of a, I was kind of shocked. It was kind of a subdued theater. I don't know why. Well, I mean, we got cheers and claps every time someone came on screen.
No Jedi, like, lightsaber fights.
It was only like one dude that was dressed up. It was kind of a little laid back crowd for some reason. I don't know why.
Were you disappointed?
A little bit.
How long do you have to wait in that first little queue before you get into the theater?
Well, the thing is, I think something happened earlier that day where the projectors screwed up, so they had to start the films over. So everything was like a half hour behind.
Oh, my God.
So I had to wait like an extra. I was there for like an hour before I got in.
Just like, oh, my God. Well, yeah. It's coming,
I showed
guys.
Up half an hour early, and then I got to wait another half an hour. But it was good.
Did you go by yourself, or did you bring Colton, or did
you
bring Tracy?
No, I didn't bring Colton. Me and a couple of my buddies went.
Dude, and were they all like pleased?
Everyone enjoyed it. I mean, it was an enjoyable film. I liked it. I had fun. It's what I... You know, kind of what I wanted it to be.
So I rated, my brother and I rated like 1 through 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So I rated, I was pretty objective too. I tried not to be too harsh mm-hmm. or too gracious.
Yeah.
So I gave 1, 2, and 3 in this order, 6, 7, 7. It's pretty fair.
Out
of what? Scale 1 to 10. Like scale 1 to 10.
You gave 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, a 6.
Episode 1, 2, and 3?
I mean, episode 1 wasn't...
The original trilogy? You're talking the original trilogy or the prequels?
No, the prequels.
You gave them a 6, 7, and 7?
I'll tell you why. Okay. I'll tell you why. Okay, a lot of it's based on excitement because, man, I was excited to see that. Like, It wasn't all bad in the first one. It wasn't all bad. There were some elements that were terrible, and there were some things that were like, okay, this is cool. This is all right. Two and three, I was like, meh, it's okay, you know. But for 4, 5, and 6, for me, it's the first one gets an 8, the second one gets a 9, and the third one gets a 9. Or the 4, 5, and 6, 8, 9.
You like
9.
Jedi better than the original Star Wars?
I love Return of the Jedi. Really? I don't know what it is. It just it's everything that I want. I wanted that movie to be and to end, and it just wraps everything up. And then the new one, I actually gave a 9. I was like, dude, this was there were holes in it. I totally know exactly what you're talking about. We won't give it anything away. Yeah, but dude, it was so
how
like,
do you
dude,
rate it higher
totally
than the original?
Sucks. Well, I'll tell you.
Empire is the best. I give you that. Episode 5 is the
and
best.
And Empire and Return of the Jedi, they're kind of like...
No, they're not
oh,
close.
They're so good.
They're not
they're
close.
So good.
They're not
so
close.
Good.
They're so not close.
I will cut you.
Ewoks knocks it down at least 2.
Come on. What do you not like about the Ewoks? Real puppets.
How much better would Jedi have been had that been Kashyyyk and a planet full of Wookiees? Finally getting revenge on the Empire for being enslaved by the Empire.
I totally agree, but I think it can still...
Instead of George Lucas trying to sell teddy bears to 8-year-olds. Which is all their Ewoks were there for.
Well, no, I heard it was like some. I heard it was like a parallel or like metaphor for the Vietnam War.
They were the original story was supposed to be on Kashyyyk, and it was supposed to be Wookiees.
I didn't know.
And
that.
And Lucas wanted to sell toys.
Well, I got
to
give you a round of applause, real quick, because you know our studio audience. For those of you that have been tuning in for as long as we've been doing the show, you have been touting a certain. You know, scene.
Yeah.
And it happens. Yeah. And you know what? I was like, nah, Eddie may be wrong. And then I was like, Eddie's right.
So right. You saw that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I did see it coming, only like as the scene started getting closer and closer, I was like, oh man, they're setting this up. But I was like, dude, Eddie was right. Except they don't show him.
You're ruining it.
I know, I can't say. I won't say anything else. That's it. Thank you.
You know, one thing that was really the most disappointing to me about Star Wars? I mean, I loved it, but I think the one thing that stuck out was like, I thought it was the least memorable John Williams score.
Wow. Really? But it was like all the same themes.
Even the prequels had like certain scores where you could like, you can hum them and you know them.
Right.
And this one just seemed, I don't remember the music in this one.
Hmm. But I mean, there were still the same like setups.
It hits
and
the same.
There's
same.
But there
scores,
wasn't, there
same
wasn't new melodic. Material.
But there wasn't a new thing that like Phantom Menace had that the Duel of the Fates. That,
yep, that's true.
I mean,
but he's. I mean, I hate to say it, but
he's batting 1,000. He can miss one.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a miss. I mean, that's pretty.
It
harsh.
Wasn't a miss. But
let's be honest. It wasn't a.
It
miss.
It wasn't a miss, but like I'm used to a John Williams score like. Hitting me.
Well, the crazy thing is one of my friends...
And I'm not even a big music guy, but I'm used to his scores hitting
me. Well, yeah, the scores... I mean, I've never heard a score of his that doesn't, like, kick ass.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this one...
But I don't think it didn't kick ass. It just didn't kick ass as much as some of the
it others. Just wasn't a major character in the film the way the other films that had been, like, such
That's
a major
true.
Character.
That's true. To but me, I think a lot of that was the scenes, too. Because I think there were lulls in some parts. It was like, come on, come on, come on. And it's like, when you have a scene that's doing like that a little bit, it's like, how much better can you really make the music, you know?
I don't know.
It's like Indiana Jones is like...
But from Superman to Jaws to Indiana
Jones.
Yeah,
but there were no new themes. He didn't
encounters.
Have a new. He didn't have a whole new canvas.
He did. He did it for the prequels.
No, he still used the same theme.
There's like, you go listen to some of the score for like... Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. There's some like,
but he's also like 10 years younger than
I
too.
Know.
So he's probably.
I'm
like,
just
ah,
saying, like that was like
getting lazy.
I was looking forward to his score, and it didn't like it didn't wow.
That's
me
awesome, dude. The way the other dude, Eddie with the good music. John Williams is one of my favorites. Have
Star
you seen
Wars,
him at the bowl?
Star Wars. No, I haven't.
Oh, you got to see him at the bowl.
The Star Wars score is the most important element of Star Wars.
Yeah, well, you got to see him at the bowl conducting Star Wars and Superman and all that stuff.
I actually
wanted to see him do. He was conducting the LA Phil, and they were showing ET. I was like, God, I would have loved to have seen that. But dude, I was like, I have to see this at least once. And my brother and I went, and dude, when they played Star Wars, all of a sudden you see lightsabers going off in the bowl. I was like, Eddie should be here.
Yeah, I should.
But anyways, no, I thought the movie was really good. It was super entertaining, and I was in it. That's the thing that I noticed. I was in it, and it was like, you know.
I enjoyed it. It was good. For being a jaded, whatever age I am, guy, I enjoyed it as much as I could.
Did you think? Were there any surprises for you?
No. I tried not to read any spoilers going in. I would just kind of stuff I had deduced on my own from where I thought the story might go and who was cast and what I knew about the cast. I kind of nothing shocked me. It kind of went the way I thought it was going to go.
There were certain things about the story that I thought certain characters would be more connected. I'll say that.
What?
But I think that's going to happen in the next one.
I thought some characters have bigger roles.
Yes. Oh, dude. That was one of my biggest disappointments.
I mean, there were several characters that had 2 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
I assume they're being set up for larger roles in the next
one. That's what my brother was saying. He was like, the next one they're going to have.
But they have as much promotional material centered around those characters, and for them not to have that kind of screen time.
I agree. I thought there'd be. How long was the movie? Do you remember?
A little over 2 hours.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It wasn't 2.5.
I thought it could be 2.5. You know, so I was a little disappointed that it wasn't. But overall, I had an enjoyable time.
Yeah,
and it was like I felt like a kid again. And I saw it with my brother, who we used to listen. I mean, we were such Star Wars nerds that we would listen to the records, knowing the movies, and just like imagine the scenes because we kept on watching the movies all the time. So we just like wanted to do something different.
I knew.
Me too.
Me too.
It's crazy, but I loved the movie. It was good. It was good. And that being said, our special guest has arrived. One of my favorite people on the planet. What an intro. Eddie Pence.
That's quite an intro.
What an intro.
Most people don't get that kind of an intro.
Well, let's introduce her again. Miss Melissa Rojas. Woo! How are you, Melissa?
I'm excellent.
You must have been so bored listening to our Star Wars
talk. No, I was quite intrigued.
Well, you haven't seen it yet, right?
We're trying
not to spoil it.
Yeah, we tried not to. I warned her that we probably would spoil things, but we didn't.
I think we kept it okay.
Yeah. We kept it rated G.
I was reacting quite a bit.
You were like, oh my God. Yeah.
Now you know what you're getting into.
You're like, these guys are really nerdy.
Oh, we could have gotten way nerdier than that.
We could have, but we didn't.
Close.
It was close. We were standing on the brink. Melissa, how have you been? I haven't seen you in forever.
I've been great.
What have you been doing? You've been acting all over the place. I've seen you on YouTube. I've seen you on Funny or Die. I've seen you in Shakespearean plays. Let's just jump right into it. You are an actress extraordinaire.
I'm an international superstar.
You are, and I know you and your family. I'm saying hello to you. A big shout out to your family because I love your family.
Thank you. Big shout out
to your sister. Big shout out to your brother. Big shout out to your parents.
They love you too.
You know, they have come to my House of Blues shows, Eddie. The same shows that you've been at.
Oh, yeah.
Her whole family has come to see me play. Not many families have come to see me play outside of my own. Her whole family has come to see me play. And you're from Upland, right?
Upland, California.
That's a trek.
Wow. I know. I'm giving a big shout out to the Rojas family. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's just jump right in. You hail from Upland.
I do.
How did you get into acting? What was the thing that
Do you still live in Upland?
I do. I make
So you drove from Upland to here?
I did.
Oh, come on. Doesn't that make you feel lazy, Eddie?
That's more impressive than the House of Blues show.
What's more impressive was that she was on time before I was here.
Well, yeah, that's not impressive. Knowing you, that's not impressive.
Well, that's the way it goes. I'm either 2.5 hours early or 90 minutes late. It's just one of those things.
I'm always about 15 minutes late. Sometimes.
I did my first ever paid stand-up gig was in Upland.
Really? Where? Not at the Grove.
Upland Ale House.
Okay.
$50.
Dude, reeling in the dough, Eddie. Yep. I mean, that is some moolah.
April 1st, which is April Fool's Day.
Dude, your first stand-up show was on April Fool's Day?
No, my first paid gig. Not my first show. My first paid gig. April 1st, 2001, I believe.
All right, well, quit stealing our thunder.
Or 2000.
Let's talk about her.
Upland. No, I'm just proud that
I'm Upland. I know Upland.
No, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Your professional debut.
There's a soft spot in my heart for Upland.
Dude, big shout-out.
It's a beautiful town.
Eddie's got a thing for Upland. Yeah. He's giving it up for Upland.
I still have the 220s and the 10 framed.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
I've never seen that in your house. You should probably break it open.
It's not up now.
Get some Christmas gifts.
I've thought about breaking it open more than once.
No, don't resist the urge. One day.
It's been close.
You'll say, oh my God.
Anyway, let's focus on our guests.
All right, so, Melissa.
Let's bring it back to
Let's
me.
Bring it back to you.
It's about Melissa.
The true actress is coming out. She's like, excuse me, spotlight over
tell
here.
Tell me what you think.
Sorry.
So, I love that. Tell that me, just made my holiday season, by the way.
I thought I thought we made your holiday
season. John Williams first.
He's your number one.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about you. You got into acting. How old were you? Like, what was the thing that you were like, oh my God, I want to do this?
Well, that's a great question. It was, I was 6 years old.
Whoa.
I was staying with my aunt. I used to hang out with her during the summers. And she's like, hey, I want to show you this movie. She used to show me a lot of classic movies. And I watched Wuthering Heights.
Ooh.
With,
as a six-year-old, you watched Wuthering Heights?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was so into it, and I just somehow
and you took it all in at six.
I did. It was like there's this tragedy. This
damn
wow.
Yeah, a lot of heartbreak.
That's a heavy movie.
Yeah.
And I saw Laurence Olivier, and I just felt madly in love.
Mm-hmm. Magic.
And I don't know, something about that film and that story just pulled me in, and so it just became this tradition. She would just show me a lot of old movies.
That's awesome.
And I just fell in love.
What are the classics?
Let's see. What else did we watch? We watched a lot of films with Danny Kaye. That was.
I don't know Danny Kaye. Do you know Danny Kaye?
He did tap dancer, right?
He
was a dancer, wasn't he?
He did some dancing, not so much tap, but he was like a really big physical comedian.
I only know
swing
Danny
and a miss
because,
on that one.
Because Christmas Vacation when
you looked at me like
Chevy Chase,
you had that little
you never seen Christmas Vacation
condescending look. You're like, yeah, I know Danny Kaye, and then you're like
from Christmas Vacation.
Tap
when Griswold loses his mind, he's like, I'm gonna tap dance like Danny fucking Kaye.
Oh,
maybe he did a little.
Well, maybe Danny Kaye.
You're not well versed in the comedy classics of Christmas, then.
That was pretty good.
Tap dance Danny fucking Kaye.
Pretty good. I'm glad he said the first swear word.
Well, Danny Kaye, have you seen White Christmas?
No.
With Bing Crosby? Are you kidding me?
I actually have not seen a lot of classics, and I'm going back now and watching.
I haven't seen White Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. I highly recommend that you both check it out this holiday season.
Dude, I'm terrible. I haven't seen Miracle on 34th Street.
Really?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I'm watching that tonight.
What's wrong with
you?
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
You have to.
I know. All right. So, let's talk about you. Danny Kaye.
A lot of classic films. A lot of Shirley Temple. Not Shirley Temple. Well, I probably drank some Shirley Temples as I was watching Shirley Temple. But, yeah, I don't know. I just got into it. It just stayed with me. And then in college, that's like when the bug.
Wait. So you saw the movies at six and you were like, one day I'm going to be an actress.
I think she just kind of planned.
And then you waited 16 years or 12 years.
Yeah.
And then what was it? Wait, you didn't take theater in high school or anything?
Well, we didn't have, unfortunately, we didn't have.
Like, Upland! Come on!
Our theater department was pretty much non-existent, so I started dancing. Like, I was in dance, not dance camp, but I was like the dance captain.
You can say dance camp.
Okay, we went to dance camp, we did. No, but I danced and I was a cheerleader, so I performed and,
So you got the bug of performing.
Yeah. And then,
but you're like, there's got to be something more.
Yeah, so I didn't join theater then. And then in college, I was just looking through the UCLA campus newspaper, and I saw this ad for a summer program at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Oh.
And so I said,
wait for it.
So
wait
long.
For it.
So
oh,
long.
You got to get the whole
so long.
Motif.
So yeah, I just jumped in. I'd taken a couple of acting classes in college and stuff. And I just auditioned and got into this summer program and then just kind of developed
like,
from
that
there.
Was it. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's a really famous school. Like, a lot of huge people have come from there.
Yes. I just want to clarify that I did partake in the summer program.
Well, that's okay.
That's a little more lenient, a little
well,
more loose.
Yeah. But still, it's still a part of the same.
But
a little more
still
slack.
Under the same roof.
I really just had to show up. And they're like, come on in.
Yeah.
Join in the fun.
You're going to write a check? Okay. Come
on. Yeah,
you're like, let's do this.
But I kind of just dove in. We took speech classes. We had dance classes, movement. I had to sing. I'm not much of a singer. And so I just had to do it all, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And then after college, a friend of mine told me about an acting class in Santa Monica.
I've actually been to it with you, actually.
Nikki came to this acting
class. I came
class.
Just to check it out, and I was like, this guy's awesome. What was his name?
Tom Todaroff.
Do you know Tom Todaroff?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he taught out in Santa Monica, but he has a conservatory in New York now. So he relocated. Yeah, and so Nikki's been out to see me. Yeah. Bless his heart. Class would run really late. It'd run till like 2 in the morning. Ugh,
gross.
And he would just...
He would work. Time. He would work people. Well, I mean,
that's really good.
You know what?
It's good if you're in the class.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? You know what? Honestly, nah. See, like, I've taken acting too, and it's like when you're in a great, like, atmosphere, you can go till 3 and 4 in the morning, and it's awesome.
And we'd have those late nights.
It's only bad when there are bad people that are just taking up time, and then you're like, okay, this he or she's got to go. Yeah. I'm
just kidding. There was a process.
There was like 2 weeks after I went to that show, I saw him in like some movie with like Robert Redford. He's like done like a ton
He's
of movies.
A lot of films.
I saw him in these scenes. I'm like, dude, I just saw him in an acting class. He was awesome. So how many years did you study with him?
Probably. I usually say 5 to 7 years. It was something like that.
And talk about commitment. Like, you drove from Upland to Santa Monica.
Yeah, I drive. Jesus.
That's like a 3-hour
drive. I drive out there. But I'm telling you, this class changed my life because he really just taught me about the work, which is super important. I mean, he would say, you have to rehearse your piece 250 times before you put it on stage.
Wow.
Before you put any work up. And that sounds insane, right? Like, 250 times? What the hell? But it was effective. And he would know. He would call us out. Be like, wow. Did you do that 250 times?
And you're like, no.
He's like,
You couldn't get away with like 225?
That was one time I think I did 230. Mm. I'm like,
okay, Eddie rehearses his bits for the show 248 times.
Yes.
Not quite 250. not 248, maybe 245.
I don't write down the list until I go up on stage.
Well, but you've rehearsed it. You well rehearsed.
I rehearse while I perform.
You know. Easy there, flexing the muscles.
No, I'm just saying, like with stand-up, like if you rehearse stand-up, you can't rehearse stand-up. We talked about this.
No, I know. You know what? I was thinking about that the other day.
You can't rehearse stand-up in a mirror.
It's pretty badass. And we were talking about how comedians, they don't have rehearsals.
You workshop things.
You just go out and perform.
You
and
do it in front of people.
You either hit or miss. You know, it's like there's no gray area.
Oh my
but.
God.
Anyway, so did you do it 250 times before you ever...
I would rehearse. I'm kind of a nerd in that way. I'm like a student. I'm like, I have to follow the rules. I have to do this. And so, yeah, I would do it. And it worked. He taught me, I say this all the time, but he taught me how to act. Because I knew that I loved it. And then I took his class, and that's where I learned.
And how many years really did you good. Say did you did it, that you studied with him? You said 2 or 3?
No. It was about 5 to 7. There was a period where I would just, take a break here and there. And then, yeah, I knew it was time to move on.
And you were doing some Shakespeare during that time, I remember.
Yeah.
Did you do Midsummer Night's Dream?
I have done a production of Midsummer. I've done quite a few Shakespeare productions.
You did some traveling troupe stuff, too, right?
I did, yeah. I was part of a small theater company, and we would just travel to different cities. We'd tour over the summer, and, like, we would sweat. We'd build the stage.
Oh, my God.
We'd go to, like, some cities in the desert. We'd perform. And we'd usually like stay in a city for the weekend and perform 2 shows in rep, and then we'd have to like tear down that stage, put it in the U-Haul.
That
drive
is commitment.
Back to LA,
jeez.
Eddie,
I loved it.
Would you do it? I don't think so. I can't see it.
No.
Maybe for the tights.
I guess maybe if I. I don't know. I don't think I love Shakespeare that much to do that.
Would but you know what? That's like stage,
it's the most like, ultimate. It's the ultimate though, man. It is
what?
Storytelling, literature, acting.
Yeah,
it's all there. It's like, oh,
it's there, but I don't. I'm not drawn to it.
I, you know what? I can understand that.
It's like soccer. I appreciate it. I just don't want to watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate Shakespeare. I do, but I don't want to watch it. It's just like soccer.
And I've heard that from so many people.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
A lot of the times when people watch Shakespeare, or like if they just go, see it live, sometimes it's not performed well.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine that making it even worse. Yeah,
you're like, dear God. But it's just like the themes of his plays.
Oh, yeah,
so universal. They're amazing.
I appreciate Shakespeare, but I don't want to. Sorry.
No, you know what? It's sometimes it's really hit or miss. It really is hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Some things are awesome, and then some things are like. I think the very first opera I did was Othello, and that was a heavy. I mean, that was like. It was just heavy. That was, like, way over my head. But when I did Midsummer Night's Dream, I did some other stuff, and it just, like, made me fall in love with his use of language.
Yeah.
And also his themes. Mm-hmm. Like, dude,
see, the
themes...
the stories I can
stories
watch.
Stories are awesome.
But I can't... I can't sit through the verbiage, the words.
If there were great actors, you would.
I can't. I've seen it done well, and I'm just like, this is not.
What about Romeo and Juliet? The with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. No. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
You didn't like that? Mm-mm. It was totally modernized and bitching. You were just like, nah.
I feel like there is like kind of an intimacy that comes along with film versions.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, I think, to explore because, you know, when you're on a stage, you have to project.
Yeah.
You have to reach the audience. Yeah. And just his words, like some of them are just so delicate. And yeah. You just would love to be able to just whisper.
Yeah. And, not hit the back row with them.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's always interesting to watch film versions.
I like both. I really love the modernized versions. I've sat through painful hours of bad Shakespearean movies, you know, that are just like, this is bad. This is bad acting. This is just bad. The set's bad. The makeup is bad. All of it's bad. But, you know, the modernized ones, especially when they interpret, like, or make it, you know, like they adapt it for modern times. I love those because it just like it registers in a different way, you know?
Yeah, I think if you can make it accessible to a modern audience, I think that's always really cool. Sometimes I feel like it gets a little out of hand and they just modernizing just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It's like, with
the Leonardo DiCaprio version, I love that they used guns instead of swords. You know, it was just like, dude, totally. That makes sense. You know, like back then. Mm-hmm. That was the lethal weapon, and now, you know, guns, it just, something small like that, it turned it into, like, a more action-packed kind of film, you know? Mm. But anyways, so you were doing Shakespeare for a while, and then how did you gravitate towards doing other things?
It was just over time. I mean, I actually created a lot of really great relationships and just a community out of this particular class and made a lot of lifelong friends, and after we all just sort of moved on and our teacher had moved to New York, we started our own theater company and did that for a while. And then a few of my girlfriends from the class, we just said, you know what, let's produce a play. Let's just do it on our own. And we got together one night and read an all-female play. It's called Sunday on the Rocks by Teresa Ribbeck. And we're like, let's produce it. It's all women. They're great stories. Let's do this. And then we just started talking about just everything that was going on in our lives. And one of the girls said, why don't we just start writing our own content. Like, let's write sketches. Let's write about what's happening in our lives. And we thought, why not? And just, like, kind of fell into that.
Well, let's set up your first clip. Like, you're going to play us something. What are you going to play us?
Right. So, I have a comedy sketch group. We're called Just Boobs Sketch.
Love it already.
I'm telling you, boobs are a hot topic. What can I say?
We love boobs, don't we, Eddie?
People love boobs.
People love boobs. Boobs
and are so, great. The first one is, let's see, which one is it again?
If guys acted like girls.
Ah, yes. Is that one? Guys acted like girls love on it. Valentine's Day.
Let's hear it.
Let's do a role reversal.
Here we go. Love it. And here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What?
It's Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Is that something I need to acknowledge?
If you want to get laid.
Oh.
I already put a ring on it. Isn't every day Valentine's Day?
I just bought him flowers last week.
Just because.
Is he going to expect something, though? I mean, you know how guys get.
Oh.
Nah.
Hey!
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 Hey! What's behind your back?
Huh? Oh! Kettle chips! I saved you some! I gotta go drop a deuce!
Hey, babe.
Hey.
I was just thinking, I am so glad that we value our relationship enough not to bow down to the altars of consumerism just to prove our love to each other. People who make grand gestures based on society-dictated holidays are totally suspect. But we're not like that. I love you.
Is that cool?
We said we weren't going to do anything. We thought we weren't doing anything.
Oh, God.
You want a V-Day, BJ?
You sure you're cool we didn't do anything for Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad we just stayed in, watched Storage Wars, got some Zanku. It was a real hoot.
Sweet.
Just Move Sketch.
To
like that? She wants more of that.
That's right there!
Surprise!
We're so not sexy, are we?
It's hard to be not even.
Let's eat some more chocolate.
Very nice. Very nice. Dude, that's how did you come up with that concept?
We were just having a conversation about Valentine's Day, and that's literally how we write our sketches. We just start talking about, like, we like sit in a writer's room. We just start, you know, throwing ideas back and forth, and we're like, oh man, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's like, what are you gonna do? Well, I don't have a boyfriend. Well, what am I gonna do for my husband and stuff? And then we're like, well, what if we just flipped it? Like, what would guys do? Like, if they were ready for gifts and to be showered with surprises and stuff, and how would they react if
the kettle chips was pretty funny.
The kettle chips, yeah. And so, yeah, everything we write just comes from a place of truth. And we always say we're not going to write just to be funny. Let's write about things that make us laugh, that make us angry.
Yeah, that make you feel something.
That make us feel something. Yeah,
and that are real. Like you're like, oh, I'm going to make fun of this, but you're going to learn from this,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
so
sure.
From time of inception of the idea,
mm-hmm,
to filming it, editing it, all that, what's the duration of time?
It just depends. I mean, when we first started, we shot a handful of sketches and then just rolled them out like a series. And then we just started creating more. So it could be about a month.
Okay.
We'll sit down, we'll write something.
Do you guys have a YouTube channel? Or?
We do. We're Just Boob Sketch.
Just Boob Sketch?
Just Boob Sketch.
Spell it out, because there are a lot of people that don't know how to spell. Let's be honest. Go ahead.
Okay, oh, yeah. Let's spell it out. JustBoobs. Sketch. SKETCH.
How many women?
Four.
So, eight boobs.
Eight boobs all together.
The one word that I think people knew
eight total boobs.
How to spell was probably boobs.
Boobs.
Sketch, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, it's so funny. When we first launched, we'd have to tell people, okay, make sure you type in sketch, because if you type in just boobs, that's exactly what you're going to get. That's
which people wouldn't be that upset with if that's what they got.
God, I was looking at something else.
Some
I was
going to your sketch show, but others were like, a little uncomfortable about it, especially telling my coworkers, you know.
I bet your dad was like, what was that coming in? You're like, it's just boobs.
You know,
sketch.
Bless his heart, he's all excited. He's like, yeah, my daughter's in a sketch group. They're on the YouTube, and they're called, they're called Just Boobs. Just Boobs. I know, isn't that great?
Awesome. I mean, that's a great name. That's great. That's a fantastic.
Yeah, it definitely
name.
Gets people talking.
So how long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this for almost 2 years.
That's
It'll be
awesome.
2 years next June. So, yeah,
and it's always
it's
the same
ride.
Girls every time.
It's the same. It's the four of us. Yep.
You get a lot of traffic, a lot of views.
We do. We had a sketch called Thigh Gap Jeans that did really well, and we were on the Today Show.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, even better, you're on Wake Up Hollywood. Oh!
I told the girls about it today. They were super thrilled. They're like, oh my God.
Like, we're going to listen.
Yeah.
They're like, is it like the Today Show? You're like, well, not quite.
You're like, it's like, radio.
It's even better. Come on.
That's right. High five.
I do have a funny story, though. When we were on the Today Show, it was with Kathy Lee and Hoda. And they're drinking their wine. I don't know if you've ever seen their segment in
course.
The morning. And they're drinking their wine and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have this sketch called, they're called from Just Boob Sketch. And so they like played clips from it. And then Kathy Lee's like, but where are the boobs? I didn't see any boobs. I mean, aren't there any boobs in Baldur?
You're like, that's all of us. We all have boobs.
So, but yeah, it's going great. We're having a great time. And it's wonderful because it's starting to become a job.
That's awesome.
Which is wonderful. And we have about 7,800 subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
We're looking to hit 10,000.
You get that paperweight
awesome.
When you hit 10,000.
Yep. We
What'd you say? You get
studio.
A paperweight?
YouTube sends you a little paperweight when you hit 10,000.
That's awesome.
Okay. I'm excited
Oh,
about
you know that.
That? I didn't know that.
If you hit 10,000 subscribers, you get like, it's like a little, you know, like the little play button, that little red play button
yeah.
on YouTube. It's like a little, I think it's like a paperweight. It's a little metal thing.
Okay.
You
that
get
changes
one of those
everything.
With 10,000.
You're like, if you how get are we going to cut this
if
in
you get a
ways?
Million, it's like a big plaque.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
And I think if you get 10,000, they invite you to the YouTube space.
That's our goal.
And you go
yes.
and get like a seminar. Like, yeah, you get a mm-hmm. you get a bunch of stuff.
Dude, that's I yeah. never knew that was like a thing.
Yeah.
YouTube, like bringing it home.
So, yeah, if all your listeners want to help subscribe,
what, 20,
get us into
2,200
that,
more
let's
subscribers.
Do it.
Dude, we
get
can
paperweight?
Get that. We can get them. We can get them.
I'm sure it's already
Why do you announce
that?
It?
Yeah,
one,
sure has.
Announce it. No, really. Announce it again.
So, you can actually go to our website. It's www.justboobssketch.com. You can subscribe to our channel directly there. You can go to YouTube and just type in Just Boobs Sketch.
Do it now.
Do it now.
Well, I mean, Eddie's already, he just added you just now.
Yeah, I'm subscribing
right now. See? It was the name of it.
I love it.
Just Boobs.
Well, let's play another clip. What are we going to play next? Are you going to play another clip from Just Boobs?
Yeah, let's do it.
Text Dakota?
Oh, yes. Okay, so.
Yes, set this up.
You need.
Give me the 411.
Yeah. In this day and age, it's really, really hard to convey intonation when you're texting someone, ooh, right? It's like, how do you convey tone? So if you call text decoders, they will tell you exactly what the other person's feeling on the other side.
Oh, I like that.
It's amazing.
That should be a 24 hours a day hotline.
Oh, it is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No. Really?
I'm going to hear the number.
We're okay, gonna, like, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Text decoder commercial.
So at first, I thought he was being passive-aggressive with all these ellipses, but then I realized I answered him in caps lock. So now I'm like, oh my God, should I tell him I didn't mean to yell? Or will that make it seem like I care too much? I mean, do I sound angry in this? I am angry, but I shouldn't let him know that, right? Because I need to keep the power, right? I need to keep the power!
Are the nuances of text message communication stressing you out?
It's obvious, Laura. He's not in this with you.
Is your friend's judgment clouded by their own jealousies and desires for a meaningful relationship? Then call Text Decoders at 1-888-COOL-TXT today to speak with one of our expertly trained text message analysts. Text Decoder is the fast, affordable way to get exactly what your potential sexual partner means by ellipses, commas, intentional misspellings, breaks in communication, correcting or not correcting autocorrects, emoticons, and much, much more.
We love Text Decoder!
Okay, so I sent him a winky smiley face, but then he just sent me back like a smiley face, like regular smile with no wink.
Due to his previous use of formal grammar and the addition of the emoticon, plus attention to detail of the punctuation here, I'd say with only 0.02% margin for error that he was feeling lustful and familiar towards you when sending this message.
Thanks, Text Decoder.
And as I've mentioned before, my name is Gajera.
My thumbs are tired, and I got 5 tickets for texting and driving.
For an additional fee and waiving your free will and privacy rights, you can take advantage of our special feature, Text Decoder Surrogate. Our decoders will learn your personality and take care of all your texting for you.
Thanks, Text Decoder.
Brad and I are getting married on Saturday? Awesome! Thanks, Text Decoder Surrogate. I couldn't have a 21st century relationship without you. Which one's Brad?
Call 1-888-COOL-TXT today. Just kidding. We know you're afraid to use your phone for vocal interaction. Just text us your credit card number and we'll take care of the rest.
Thanks, Text Decoder!
Very nice, very nice! And I gotta give you the auga of approval for the Indian accent. Coming from an Indian, that's not a very good or very hard way to talk, but you had it down.
I worked on it. Nailed it. I worked on
it. 250 rehearsals to get that down.
200. No, I put 265
in
for
that one. 265.
265.
I took it to the next level.
Wow.
I remember, actually, that was the first thing I saw that you sent me.
Oh,
you
really?
Sent me something on Facebook, and I think you were just getting, like, you were, like, on some thousands of views. You're like, hey, check us out. And I was like, oh, I'm listening to an Indian woman. That's awesome. Awesome. Represent.
That was fun.
No, that's, you know, that's, I like seeing that.
Thank
good stuff.
You.
Good stuff.
And again, that came from a compliment. We were like, it was a girls' night in. We were talking. One of the girls was like, oh my God, this guy texted. What do you, but he sent me like a smiley face. What do you think that means? And just when we were just like talking back and forth about it. And we're like, okay, we need to write about this. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, you're writing about things. You're actually writing about a lot of things that females go through.
Yeah.
That men wonder about or that mm-hmm. men do and don't think about, but females think about and need, you know, clarification.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's really female-centric, definitely. But we do, like, get a lot of guys that comment on our videos.
Eddie's married, so he's like, yeah, we don't, you know, there's no games. There's no fire.
Just keeping it.
I've known her for like 20 years. So
you're just like, there's this none is. Of that. There's no subtext.
No.
It's just yes, no. No.
You just call each other out on BS. Like,
I love that, though.
Oh, it's so much easier.
I love that.
So much easier.
No bullshit.
Like, I look forward to that.
It's so much
it's
easier.
Like, let's just put it on the table.
And we were actually friends before we started dating, so it's like even less of that. It's like you can't even begin to do games. It's like just stop.
Because you know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, wonderful.
Damn it, Tracy.
So much easier. So much easier than actually like meeting someone and like starting romantically right from the get-go, mm-hmm. because then there's like all these games and manipulations and all this other stuff. It's just
bullshit. People like to put up a front.
Yeah,
you know?
You have to like, work to get through all so that, forward,
right? Especially in this city.
Oh,
this city is gnarly.
It's nearly impossible.
This city is like crazy when it comes to dating, just because, man, there's just so many. There's so many. A, there's so many options. B, there's so much bullshit. You know, like, just because there's entertainment and fake and blah, 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 blah. So I like that you're kind of poking fun at all this.
We do. Yeah. It's like, if you can't make fun of yourself.
So you just sit in a room and you're just like, what are we going to write about today?
Mm-hmm.
And then you all just write
we
the whole thing.
We pitch each other ideas. It's like, okay, I have a thought about this. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it'll start off as one seed and it'll just transform into something. It'll just kind of evolve.
Do you guys all live in Upland?
No.
Jesus, Eddie.
Well, I'm just curious. No. It's a huge commute.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I'm the woman from Upland.
Oh, you're
no, no,
the
no.
Woman.
No, all the girls live out here in L.A., so.
Are they like, Melissa, do you want to just move to L.A.? You're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back
No,
up.
They all know that I want to move to London.
You want to move to London?
I do. Wow. I'm obsessed with that city.
Really?
It's a great
city. How many times have you been there?
4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Really?
I've gone 4 times since 2011.
Well,
wow.
You've seen Shakespeare there. That's where I've seen Shakespeare there.
Yeah, I had.
The Globe, right? That's not what it
I've
is?
I've been to the Globe. I've been to Stratford-upon-Avon, the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh, well, then.
Yeah, and I just saw Benedict Cumberbatch in Hamlet.
Wow, that must have been amazing.
It was fantastic. I was really, really excited.
Wow.
I love London. Have you ever been to London?
No.
It's like New York, but with a better...
Hopefully
like,
better. Hopefully a lot better than
it
New
is.
York.
Well, it is. It's
not a huge fan of New York.
Well, New York is awesome, but it's just like... It's just... There's something about New York that I get why people don't like. But
there's something that's London, very enchanting about London.
Yeah, London's got history. Yeah. And it's got fantasy. It's got a little bit of
really
intrigue.
Yeah.
You just like... The best trip that I took was just going by myself, just getting lost. It's like not planning anything. Getting lost in little nooks and crannies of
the
city.
Like you see like castles and palaces and stuff. It's just like, this is crazy. There's a lot of that in London. That's what, and there's so much art too. And they promote art. Like all the museums are free. Like you can go into any museum at any time and it's just free. I mean, it's just, there's so many things about it. I'm like, God, this is great.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
We haven't figured that out yet.
We have a lot to figure out.
We have a lot to figure out. But
well, to be fair, we're the youngest country in the world. So
we're quite young.
We're getting there. But when it comes to art...
In like relative time, we're adolescents, and we act like
it
a lot.
But in London, they really support artists. I mean, in a big way.
They really do. It's kind of just... I mean, family day will be, let's go to the theater.
Yes.
Let's check out a museum. It's just part of their everyday life.
Yeah. And it's like a part of the social life. Mm-hmm. Like, here it's more like bars and, you know, clubs. There, they have that too. Like, they got the pubs, they got all that. But it's like very much like artistic, you know, fueled. You know, that's what I like about it. Even like the street artists are that. That's where there's a parallel with New York. There's a lot of street art. There's a lot of theaters. There's a lot of, you know, plays. There's a lot of original art. I love it. So
they do have their version of Times Square, which is Piccadilly Circus.
Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah.
You know the crazy thing? Life. You know what I love about London? Let's just take a little veer.
Let's take a detour.
So like some of my favorite artists, Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley, they couldn't break in Jamaica or the U.S. They broke in London. Because
Bill
that
Hicks
was
did.
Where,
like Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks did.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's something that about London that people just accept people a little bit more, I think, or are a little bit more open. Like people didn't want to accept a black guy playing guitar, playing rock and roll. You know, that, you know, was farther evolved than the blues. So, and even with Bob Marley, you know, like he was half Jamaican, half white. And, you know, he wasn't getting total love from Jamaica, but, I mean, he was still creating a following. But it was really England that put him on the map. So there's something about London. I totally get that. Not to veer. But anyways, back to you. Back to you, Melissa. So tell us, what are you working on now? What are some of the things that are brewing?
Well, I'm still working with Just Boob Sketch. We're pretty much, I guess, essentially getting ready to film season 3, if you will. We have about 5 sketches that we'll be shooting next month.
That's awesome.
So we're in pre-production right now.
Do you guys ever do live shows, or is that like being on YouTube?
No, and people ask us that all the time. When's your live show? When are you going to have a live show? And we haven't. I would love to, personally, because I would just love to get on a stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the girls and I actually hosted, it was called a Funny Women Comedy Festival, and it was at IO West, I believe.
Where's that?
It's on
Hollywood.
Okay. Hollywood, yes.
Okay,
it's on Hollywood.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And so they're like, can you come and just host the show? We're going to show about 12 videos. And we're like, sure, why not? We got up on that stage, and it was exhilarating.
You're like, this is what I want to do.
Well, it's like when you do your stand-up, right? You see what works with an audience. You vibe with them. And so it was just so wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's the most truth you get in performing stand-up comedy.
I would agree with that. I would be terrified.
Because people laugh if it's good.
Yeah. There's no pity laughs or fake laughs.
And if
it
sucks.
There's no applause at the end of every song.
I mean, hey! Well, that's true. It's true. I've been to a lot of shows where it's like, that was a shitty performance, and everybody's like,
comedy, if it's not funny, you know immediately.
But you also do have like people that are excessively drunk that are gonna laugh at a lot of things too.
True.
So you have that element as well.
There's variations within it, but for the most part, doing comedy on stage,
if it's either good or it's not,
is immediate.
And you know what, like with comedy too, it's like, you know, there's like this momentum that you build. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Like, you know, I've seen some really, like, I hate to say this, but I love Kevin Hart's stand-up comedy, and I can't stand him in movies because
it's a different thing.
It's a different thing, but there's no momentum. There's no, like, the stories are different. He's not creating the stories. He's like this character, and he has some funny little moments. But it's just like a lot of times, it's like the stand-up comedians that when they're creating it, it's just like there's no filter. It's raw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes from their. I mean. Yeah. Their lives.
Yeah. You're in a movie, you're playing a character, you got to play the part of the character that fits into that part of the story. I mean, it's like...
But what I love about what you guys are doing, the Just Boob Sketch comedy troupe, you guys are creating it. You're creating it, acting in it, you're filming it, you're editing it. Are you guys all editing?
Oh my God, we've learned how to use Adobe Premiere.
Oh my God. I put Eddie out of a job.
I swear to you, a year ago if you would have said, oh, you're going to be writing, directing, editing, I would have been like, oh, I don't think so. I mean, it's just been a learning curve, but we've had to. We've just had to do it. We've been really lucky, though, because we have an amazing DP who has been able to shoot all of our stuff, and he just makes it look beautiful.
Who is that?
His name's...
you can tell us.
Oh, good. His name is Davey Voorhees, and he has a studio called Big Footage Studios.
Awesome.
So you should check him out.
So do you go to the studio and then shoot it all there?
No, we usually shoot at the same 3 apartments.
That's awesome.
I mean, because, you know, we can't really afford to
pay for locations.
But we'll go to his studio if we need a green screen or something. He's amazing.
What about miking? Like, give us the details. Like the
miking?
Yeah.
I mean, he has a couple of mics. And we
just overhead mics?
Lavaliers.
He'll boom it. Yeah.
Boom it.
He'll boom it as well. And we just make it work. Like, literally, he's a one-man band. And then we just join in on the fun. It's
That's
like,
awesome.
Okay, Mel, I need you to hold the boom. Who's going to hold it this shot? One time I was standing on top of a stool and I was holding an umbrella to create for lighting purposes. It was fantastic.
But that's
but
see, that's
work,
the stuff.
And that's what's
that's
so
the
great.
Stuff people want to hear. You know what I mean?
It's so great.
Well, let's play another clip. What do you plan us next?
Okay. So this last clip is from a web series I did called Sort of My Thing. And each episode is one woman talking to another woman who is revealed at the end of the episode. And so this is Christmas Card Frenzy, I guess, if you
will. All right.
There we go.
Perfect timing.
Yes, I'll hold. Chrissy!
No!
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first, we put in an order for 100 cards, and we only got 50, and I requested that they be addressed and mailed, but they were sent back to me blank. Yes, I'm sure.
X75B. Chrissy! Don't!
374. Well, just because you can't find it doesn't mean that I'm lying about the order. What's your name? Look, Angela, it's 7 days till Christmas, and I have to send these on my own right now if I want them delivered in time. Yes, I have to. What? It is none of your damn business why I have to. Christmas cards are my thing, and you ruined it. My husband is working right now. He doesn't have time to... He's in marketing. Why do you care? Just overnight the rest of my fucking cards! Because I have to send them out tomorrow. Because the post office is too slow, and I won't have any time Monday. Chrissy! I have to take my kids to rehearsal, and I have to pick up my husband's present, and I have to get the turkey because my father-in-law demands a Christmas turkey every damn year, even though I just made a 20-pound turkey for Thanksgiving. Oh, but if I don't make another turkey with stuffing and all of that, he'll say, Susan, you stop stuffing the turkey, and Jeff will stop stuffing you because he's a total dickweed and wants to make my life miserable like you do, Amanda. Oh, I mean Angela. Chrissy!
Hold on, our sound guy forgot.
Because there was like another minute left in the sketch.
Oh, really? Wait, let's play the next minute. Sorry. Play
that was a good out.
It was a good out.
All right.
It was a natural.
That's right. Well, you should have done some signals or something.
Well, you started applauding and then yammering on. I didn't know what.
I'm not going to lie. It gets a little dark. So.
Oh, so that was a good out.
There. That makes everything better.
Sock dirty tip. Oh, sorry, Annie. That was awesome.
Thank you.
So that was all you.
That was me in that episode, yes. A friend of ours wrote this web series called Sort of My Thing. And she asked us all to be in it. And so, we each got our own episode, which was kind of fun.
I wanted to ask, are there any moments where there's improv? Like you're off what you all wrote together? Or is it kind of like pretty disciplined?
There are moments of improv. I mean, we try to be as efficient as possible, but some of the most amazing moments that we find come from improv.
The live energy.
It's true.
Yep.
It's got something to it. I don't know. It's got some magic. Right, Eddie?
So terrible.
I'm just kidding. So come terrible. On.
Can't take it back.
Just put the Star Wars theme on back. Just kidding. Well, Melissa, you've been an awesome guest. Amazing to see you again. Please send our love to your family.
Will do.
One more time, what's your YouTube channel?
Yes.
So we can get you up to that.
Go to YouTube and type in Just Boobs Sketch.
Spell it out. You might as well.
Okay, JustBoobs. New word, sketch, SKETCH.
Just Boobs Sketch. And subscribe.
Subscribe.
Don't just
please.
View.
Yeah,
subscribe.
Don't just view. Click don't be lazy.
Click subscribe.
You will see Just Support Boobs for the rest of your life.
They need a paperweight and they want to go to the YouTube space.
That's right. Well, happy holidays.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
So good to see you. What a great way to catch up.
And we got to talk Star Wars.
That was awesome. What a fun episode, everybody. What a night.
Well, the Force has awakened in all of us and we hope it awakens in you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.